Radio and More, the program that specializes in amateur radio in the Valley and around the world. Whether you're already a ham or have always wanted to be one, you'll find out about interesting events and issues regarding amateur radio. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. To get in touch with Lynn, call 230-2755. That's 230-2755. Or outside the local area, call 1-800-293-KFNN. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by AEA Incorporated, Wallpaper World, and Ken Nichols. Now, here's the host of Ham Radio and More, Lynn Winkler.
CQ, 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 and welcome back to Ham Radio and More. I'm your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW, and I have Todd Lefkowitz and 7PMP as my guest, and we're here discussing ham radio and all kinds of other interesting things. Our phone number is 230-2755. If you've just tuned in, we do start at noon now every Sunday. We're on for 2 hours, noon till 2, and we appreciate your listening. Tell a friend, tell an enemy. We don't care as long as you listen. 230-2755 is our new number, or 1-800-293-KFNN. And we invite your input. We're going to start this hour out with another trivia question. We have two more circus tickets, and you can have circus tickets, the two circus tickets, or the Sundrop T-shirt, whichever you choose, if you're the first caller with the correct answer, at 230-2755 or 1-800-293-KFNN. If you want the circus tickets, you do have to come down to the studio and pick them up. Paul out in Mesa. They will be here at KFNN, which is located at 4800 North Central, 4800 North Central in Phoenix. If you, today or tomorrow, anytime during business hours. So, Todd, let's ask the second question a little more difficult than the Eiffel Tower.
That's right. The first one was a little bit of a giveaway. This one will take some thinking. Who's buried in Grant's tomb? No, just kidding. This
Abraham Lincoln?
Right. This delves a little bit into the world of Broadway musicals, and the question is, or the answer is, she played the original Maria von Trapp in the Broadway production. That's a Broadway production of The Sound of Music. So she played the original Maria in the Broadway production, the first Broadway production of The Sound of Music.
Okay, and our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN, and you have your choice. You can have a Sundrop T-shirt or two complimentary passes to the Bentley Brothers Circus, and it's sponsored by your local Fraternal Order of Police. So, by all means, give us a call. And I guess that was the wrong answer, huh? So, give us a call. Okay, a little information, and then we'll continue on. Richard L. Baldwin. This is courtesy of the ARRL letter dated April the 13th. Richard L. Baldwin, W1RU, has been named the 1992 Amateur of the Year by the Dayton Hamvention Awards Committee. Baldwin has been president of the International Amateur Radio Union since retiring from the ARRL headquarters staff in 1982. Also honored by the Hamvention were Gerald Cromer, K4NHN, for technical excellence, and Ned Robb, W1RAN, for special achievement. Although Baldwin's 40 years as a professional amateur have included a number of achievements, he probably is best remembered for his role in the 1979 World Administrative Radio Conference, where amateurs were allocated new bands at 10, 18, and 24 megahertz. Baldwin is quick to say, however, that it was a group effort at the 1979 WARC that produced successes for amateur radio. My selection for this honor comes primarily because I was a member of a succession of smoothly functioning teams. We were successful because we had a plan and because we were convinced that we convinced enough administrations of the value of the amateur service, and because we had an effective team not only prior to WARC 79, but at the conference itself. Dick Baldwin is 72 years old and born in Pensacola, Florida. but lived most of his life in Connecticut before retiring to Maine in 1982. His first license in 1934 is W1LKE and became W1RU in the 1960s. An active operator all his life, with over 310 confirmed countries, he used exclusively homebrew equipment until the mid-60s. Today, he's on all bands, including VHF Packet, from his seaside home in Bremen, Maine. Baldwin, again, the 1992 Amateur of the Year. Next year, Todd, you might be the Amateur of the Year.
Well, only in my wildest dreams, but I'll keep persevering.
I like to be a Professional of the Year, you know. But anyway, Westlink honors a young ham. Angela Fisher, KB0HXY, has been named the Westlink Young Ham of the Year for 1992. Angela's only 13 years old, was first licensed at age 10, and holds a general class license. She lives in suburban St. Louis and is the second consecutive young amateur from the city to receive the award. The 1991 winner was Richard Sammy Garrett, AA0CR. Angie, as she prefers to be called, has introduced a number of young friends to amateur radio. Her 7-year-old brother Dan also is interested, but he thinks he may be too young. Oh, 7 years old isn't too young.
No, not at all.
In fact, my son Matthew, 7 years old, get studying, Matt. You can be a ham. How old are your kids?
Well, Jordana's a little over 5 years old, and Eric's 3.5.
Well, I don't know about the 5-year-old, but Eric at 3.5, why not?
Eric's a natural name for a ham radio.
He could certainly join the 599 Club and be one of the top contenders to all Eric's.
I know a couple more Eric's in the valley here, too.
Are hams?
It's a good ham name.
Imagine. Oh, yeah, not a lot of Lens. I only know a few. Although there is a lady named Lynn. That's kind of funny. You know, there's a lady out there, N7PPT, with the ARA, very, very prominent, of course, with the ARA, and her name is Lynn Minkler. How's that?
Okay.
For being close to Len Winkler. Okay. Let's see. One more thing I had here, and I'm not sure where I put it. Oh, you know, a while ago we talked about the Amateur Spectrum Act of 1992 or 91, that we're trying to get some acts through Congress to help keep our frequencies, H.R. 73 and the Senate Bill 1372. And we've not been talking about it for a long time, and people might have thought that, you know, it's died or something. But actually, thanks to two independent newsletters and a fraternal organization, a distinction with Mark Twain, who has to tell the Associated Press that the reports of my death are greatly exaggerated, they're back in business again. All three of these sources have predicted that the bills were dead, but three more senators and 10 new representatives have become co-sponsors in 1992, bringing the totals to 27 senators and 172 congressmen. And the FCC opposition to H.R. 73 and S-1372 doesn't necessarily mean the bills are dead, as others have implied. For amateurs to believe the legislation has no chance sets up a self-fulfilling prophecy. If no more amateurs write to their senators and representatives, the bills will expire. So we suggest that you write to our senators, McCain and DeConcini, and to our congressmen, all of them, and tell them that you'd like them to support House Bill H.R. 73 and Senate Bill S-1372, which are the Amateur Radio Spectrum Protection Acts, because they do say that if the FCC takes away any frequencies from amateur radio operators, that they will give us more frequencies in exchange, so of like frequency, supposedly. It's better than we have now, so I say write your letters. I know I did. So it's not too late. Send your letters to the senators and our congressmen. Matt, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Just fine.
Do I know you?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I just was curious. What, do you have a call sign?
Yes, 77PSK.
PSK, okay.
I've talked to you before at the Camp Lee. the 75th anniversary for the Boy Scouts.
Okay, that's what I thought you were. So
yeah.
That's why I asked. Okay, which do you want, the tickets or the T-shirt?
The circus tickets.
Okay, we have two circus tickets for you to pick up at KFNN. What is the answer, and how did you know this answer?
The answer is Mary Martin,
yes.
And my mom told me.
Okay. I was going to say, because I didn't think, I would have thought, and Forrest, did you get any answers, Julie Andrews? Yes. All the answers before you were Julie Andrews, and I would have thought that's what most people would have answered.
No, I had no idea what the answer was, or even...
Right. Well,
my mom just told me that, so...
Well, do you know who Mary Martin is?
I have no idea.
Where she made her real claim to fame? As Peter Pan.
That's right, Peter Pan.
She played a he. Well, of course, it was a fair... anyway, so that was Peter Pan. But anyhow, you do win. Now, you know where our studios are located, 4800
yes.
North Central, and I will have two tickets sitting there for you, and you can come later today or during normal business hours the next few days.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Matt.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye, 73. Okay, well, we're going to have one more contest, and you're going to get a T-shirt if you win the last contest. And it's probably the trickiest, not trickiest, but it is the most. The one is a two-part answer.
That's correct.
One of the parts is easy, but the other one is a little tricky.
That's true, and congratulations to Matt's mother on that.
Yes.
That was a good one.
Forrest, my engineer there, is clapping and congratulating Matt's mom, too. Something about the name Matthew. That's a great name. Right, Matt? Okay. More good news from Wallpaper World. Leveler has made a new deal with Wallpaper World. Now, for a limited time only, get Leveler quality, Leveler brand, custom-made wood blinds in 1 or 2 inch slats, smooth or sandblasted, for a whopping 65% off their suggested retail prices, 70% off on Leveler Riviera custom aluminum blinds. Leveler Riviera, you know, is considered to be the best made available today. Wallpaper World sells lots of different brands, Bally, Kirsch, Joanna, Chic, you name it, they have it. But when they can advertise Leveler at a big discount, and this is only because Leveler gives them a special price, and it's only through the end of May, it's really a sale. When you can get 65-70% off on Leveler, it's great. And never before, really, never before has Wallpaper World been able to offer 65% off on Leveler woods. We've offered 65% off on Hunter Douglas or other brands, but never on Leveler wood blinds. This is really a super sale, 65% off. And don't forget the 70% off on the aluminum blinds in half-inch, 1-inch, 1 3/8, and 2-inch slats. And they have 175 colors. Leveler at these prices won't last long. And at Wallpaper World, if you do buy 4 or more of these blinds, they'll install them absolutely free. And don't forget also at Wallpaper World, they have custom vertical blinds in a special selection of fabrics for over 80% off the suggested retail prices. Company went bankrupt. They bought over 50,000 yards of fabric. And they bought it for like nothing. And so these prices that they're selling these verticals for are really giveaways. Seriously, and these fabrics are expensive normally. And they're selling them for less than vinyl. So when you want window coverings and quality and price are important, Wallpaper World is the only place to go. Call 272-4788, 272-4788 for more information or the location nearest you. Wallpaper World really does make selecting decorating products an enjoyable experience. Now remember, our number is 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN. And we're going to take, if you have any merchandise you want to buy, sell, or trade, get online. We want to take your calls now if you have any merchandise you want to buy, sell, or trade. In the meantime, while you load up our phone lines with merchandise that you want to buy, sell, and trade at 230-2755, we're going to go to Nick's Corner, W7ZMD, and hear about some product reviews or whatever Nick has in Nick's Corner today. So Nick Seuss, W7ZMD at 992-4133. Take it away.
Thank you, Lynn. This is Nick Seuss from Nick's Corner. This week's segment is going to be something of a departure from the norm. I'm going to go through the various general subjects and items which have been covered in this segment so far. If you've been thinking about purchasing a specific unit or have been pondering which of a couple of different items to purchase, you might be interested in a written transcript of a specific segment. Get your pencils and papers ready to make notes of which subject or which review number you would like a copy of. You can call me direct, Nick Seuss, W7ZMD at 992-4133, or send an SASE and a dollar to cover the cost of copying to KFNN, Ham Radio and More, Nick's Corner, the address 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. I'll repeat the address again later. So if you decide you want to make a copy or get a copy of something, you can catch the address again at the end. I'm going to enumerate the various items which have been reviewed in subject order, not numerical order. 2 meter radios and modes was review number 2. 2 meter mobile radios was review number 3. 2 meter band plan was review number 4. Modes, AM, CW, SSB, FM, actually a follow-on to the 2 meter band plan discussion of December 2nd, is review number 6. Microphones general discussion is review number 12. VHF, UHF equipment, the Elenco DR599, the 2450 radio, was review number 15. The ICOM 24AT dual band HT wide receive is review number 19. The Radio Shack Micronta SWR power meter, Micronta number 19320, was review number 11. The ASU FT470 dual band HT is review number 18. HF equipment. The AEA fax cable and software is review number 16. The Heil HM10 dual HC4/5 microphone was review number 14. The Kenwood TS440 and in-depth evaluation was reviews number 7, 8, and 10. MFJ931 artificial ground tuner was review number 1. That was number 1. Pardon my stuttering. The ASU FT990 versus the Kenwood TS850 and the TS930 was review number 5. The list isn't very long at this point, but that's it. If you'd like a written transcript of one of the subjects, include either the subject name or the review number, enclose an SASE and a dollar to cover the cost of copying, write to KFNN, Ham Radio and More, Nick's Corner, the address 4800 North Central Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. That wraps up this segment. If you'd like to have a written transcript or comments, you can call me or send your comments to the address already given twice. That's it. Thank you. This is Nick's Product Review Corner, presented by Nick Seuss, W7ZMD, phone number 992-4133. Amateur radio equipment repair is my business and is located near 40th Street and Bell Road. Again, the phone number, 992-4133. Now back to you, Len.
Thanks, Nick. And even though sometimes he stumbles on his soliloquy, he doesn't stumble when it comes to repairing your radio. He does a pretty good job. So if you need it repaired, 992-4133, Nick Seuss. Let's talk, before the news at the half hour, let's talk about satellite television and how it can also relate to ham radio. I have a dish. I've had one since about 1983. I got one a long time ago when there was no such thing as a standalone one-piece IRD. I had two of them, and I got it from MACOM, who is now GI, of course, the leader in basically the leader in the video cipher, just scrambling stuff. And if you have a question about this, I can probably answer some of them, and probably Todd could. But we want to concentrate more on some of the things that you can get off of a satellite dish other than television, Showtime, Movie Channel, and those types of things. You use it for a lot of different interesting things. For instance, Todd, what?
Well, there are many things that are carried up along with or next to the usual video signals up on the TVRO birds. One of the things that's real interesting if you're into weather satellites, as I and a couple of my friends here in the Valley are to take the baseband output, which is on the back of most TVRO receivers. It's something that's used very rarely, but it's a little RCA or F connector at the back of the TVRO receiver, and you run that through some coax to an HF receiver, and that gives you the into the antenna input of an HF receiver, and in FM mode, you can pick up some very good weather satellite pictures.
Now, what type of receiver do you use?
Okay, I actually have the Kenwood TS-850S.
Okay, I was referring to the satellite receiver. But
oh, okay, I'm sorry. I have an EchoStar, and I'm very bad at remembering model numbers, but it's...
You probably have the 710.
Yeah, that's right. It's the current top-of-the-line TVRO receiver.
Either a 7 or an 810. 710, I think.
I think it's a 710, and it has the integrated receiver, descrambler, has all these stereo capabilities. But even the simplest of TVRO receivers has a baseband output. Now, the weather pictures may not be optimal using the common HF receiver or HF transceiver that most of us have in our shacks. But if you're tuned to the right bird and the right transponder, you can at least get a semblance of a decent weather picture if you also have a weather descrambling or reflex descrambling board in your computer.
Okay, so if you attach this from the back of your satellite receiver to your HF radio, you need more than that. You need that
That's
on the
right.
computer.
That's correct. You would hear the signal, of course. But then you need to be able to demodulate the signal and turn that analog signal into a digital picture, which is what a board in your computer will do.
Okay. For those who have this and didn't know they have the capability of doing what you're suggesting, what bird and what transponder is it?
Okay. Most of those are, I believe, on the SpaceNet 3 bird. And I believe the transponder is transponder 1. Anyone who's interested can give me a call or let me know through the packet cluster, and I'd be happy to give that information to them. For people who don't have a weather satellite descrambling equipment, you can also listen to some exotic things like telephone conversations. If you were to tune into the Morelos bird, one of the Mexican TVRO satellites. I don't remember exactly which transponder, but that's also something I could look up and tell people about. Using just single sideband on any HF receiver or transceiver, you can tune around the bands and pick up phone conversations. Probably just one half of the conversation, and it will be in Spanish. But that is another one of the interesting things that you can do. On one of the Canadian birds, I think it's Anik D2, transponder 1, there are Reuters news photos as well.
Well, we'll get back to that. Again, you're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN, and our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN, and we do encourage your phone calls. We're sitting here talking to a microphone, and we like your input, so by all means, call us and tell us if anybody out there is on satellite television and utilizing it, like Todd says, I'd be interested in what you are doing. And so I'm sure Todd would, because he probably is missing something that he'd like to do. So give us a call, 230-2755, and we're still looking if you want to buy, sell, or trade equipment. This is Len Winkler. We'll see you after the news. So stay tuned.
You're listening to Arizona's Radio Soap. Here's your host, Len Winkler.
Well, welcome back. It's 1:33 and 41 seconds, and I'm Len Winkler, and I'm here with Todd Lefkowitz, and we're talking about ham radio, and we're talking about weather satellites and other interesting things. I want to remind everybody that this week, again, the ARA is holding their 25th anniversary celebration, and we encourage everybody to go there, 1515 East Osborne, 7:30 p.m., April 23rd, and there'll be free coffee and cake and all kinds of other stuff. So by all means, if you have nothing else more pressing, and even if you do, cancel that and go to the ARA celebration for the 25th anniversary. And Matt Gannis was just talking about trivia, so let's handle our last trivia question. You'll win a free T-shirt. That's right, a free T-shirt and compliments of Sundrop, who was at the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Ham Fest that we had a couple weeks ago. Our phone number, 230-2755 or 1-800-293-KFNN. Be the first caller with the correct answer to this question.
Yeah, this is one that's going to separate the proverbial men from the boys. And we were talking about getting licensed in France and Germany, and we had a France question. Here's a Germany question to complete today's trivia. The year that the Berlin Wall was erected and the year that the Berlin Wall was torn down. The year of erection and the year of tearing down.
Now that's, I can answer one of the two, but I can't answer when it was built, but I can answer when it was torn down. What do you know for? Well, you know for it because you're looking at the answer, but I don't know. 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN. So give us a call, win a T-shirt, and tell us when the Berlin Wall went up and when it came down. Now, Todd, you love these weather satellites. What do you do with all the? I mean, I thought I saw a picture at the DX. You brought some slides one time or a video, and I saw all these monitors you have. How many do you have?
Okay, well, I have two computers running at the same time, one of them for displaying the weather pictures. Once you've got the setup going, and it usually takes a year or so until you've gotten everything together and perfected it, it's not something that's easily done. Then if you have the inclination and the time, you can actually learn what it takes to interpret the pictures, and that's an art in itself, and there are some very good textbooks available for teaching amateurs how to look at the weather satellite pictures and predict what the significance of those particular weather patterns are. Now, one of the useful things is if you wanted to find... setup is relatively easy to build and relatively inexpensive. When you get into the geostationary satellites, then you need to have more complicated systems using dishes or loop Yagis. You're dealing with a much weaker signal because you're dealing with satellites that are 23,000 miles up in the geostationary belt as opposed to satellites which are 500 miles up.
Okay, now, when you listen to all this, as a neophyte in weather satellites that I am, I would think you need big arrays of antennas and all kinds of heavy beams and, you know, with major amounts of elements, etc. And because I know where you live and the certain antenna problems you have, that isn't true, is it?
Not at all. In fact, it's relatively easy and inexpensive to get a good weather satellite antenna system set up for those polar orbiting satellites. It would be nice if you can track them because you could get a much longer
weather picture as the bird is rotating or is orbiting over your QTH. If you can't do that, and most of us cannot have tracking Yagis that will track the signal from horizon to horizon.
But of course, if you didn't have antenna restrictions, you'd have that.
Probably not. It's too much of a pain. It's not really worth it.
Okay.
But there are several antennas, either the turnstile reflector type or the Lindenblad, which my good friend AA7A, Ned, has, which gives you a little bit more of the horizon in either direction. But these require no tracking, and you just need a tracking program to tell you when the bird is going to be over the horizon, and then you can actually see a strip of land going from as far north as Canada, as far south as Central America, get some really amazing results. And turnstile reflector is easy to build yourself, or can be purchased from a couple of suppliers around the country. And then you just hook that up through a preamplifier to a weather receiving a weather receiver, which also is fairly easy to purchase or even build. And then the audio output goes from the weather receiver to a demodulating board, which fits into a slot in your average PC. And with the help of many different software programs, you can be displaying weather satellite pictures from the polar orbiters over your PC. Now, if you want to do the geostationary, again, because those are 23,000 miles up, the signal is much weaker. They don't need to be tracked because they're always in the same position relative to your QTH on Earth. So you can get something like a 5.5-foot used TV dish, which is what I have, pointed at the bird, and then you take the signal, which is at 1691 megahertz, down convert it to 137.5, which is a common frequency used for polar orbiting satellites, and then you don't have to worry so much about expensive low-loss coax runs into your house, because at 1691 you need to have some pretty expensive heliax.
Now, a normal person who doesn't know all those things, where can they get all that information in black and white?
Okay, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked. The Dallas Remote Imaging Group, which runs an excellent computer bulletin board service in the Dallas area, is easily reached here from Phoenix, and they have all kinds of information about how to set up weather satellite receiving systems. Of course, any of us who do it here in the Valley, myself, AA7A, and a couple of other people, are always interested to share our accumulated knowledge.
Well, I know you invited me, and I'm going to take you up on it one of these days to see your shack and all these.
As it were.
Now, do you print out these maps on a continuous basis, or just every so often, or...
One of the nice things about the software is it allows you to store the pictures as graphics files, either as a GIF file or a TIF file or whatever, and then you could print these out on a dot matrix or a laser printer. The software usually allows you to print these pictures directly, but if you have other software programs, paintbrush programs, PCX, whatever, that allows direct printing from graphics files, you can use those as well, and you can use these paint programs to modify or enhance pictures.
And of course, you could also buy an AEA fax to get weather fax.
Absolutely. I think we talked about it a little bit in our first program a couple of months ago, but I started getting interested in weather fax from using my PK-232, which allows you to take HF fax pictures, you know, from your HF rig, and there are loads of those available coming in from all over the world, and the PK-232 would take the signal from your HF rig and convert it into a very neat-looking weather satellite picture or weather map right there on your own PC, and the AEA fax is a fairly new product that I don't have any practical experience with, but which allows you to simply do that.
Well, if anybody wants to know about the AEA facts, really, more information, you can call Nick Seuss, because Nick did a product review on it, and he just said it earlier, what number it was, I don't know what it is, but he did a product review on the AEA facts, which brings me to two things. One, the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club in September will have the National Weather Service do a program at their meeting, and they're going to show us all the satellites and how they do professional weather forecasting, and that should be very interesting. So I'll plug for the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club, September's meeting. And also, I need to talk about AEA before the hour's over, because after all, they are a good sponsor of the show. AEA has a vast array of... and we also have not gotten a winner. We have gotten some calls. Are they guessing when it came down correctly? But they're not even guessing when it came down correctly. Okay. When did the Berlin Wall get erected? When did it get when was it put up? And when was it torn down? That's the question we're asking. 230-2755. 230-2755. And I know that I spoke to an East German the last day that Germany, that there was an East Germany. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Me, Mr. DXer, you know. AEA has a vast array of products for ham radio use. Products include the Isoloop 10 through 30 HF antenna, the Isoloop omnidirectional VHF and HF antennas, the VSB70 fast scan transceiver, which I'm utilizing right now at home and find it very, very good, the ATV and Oscar accessories, the Morse machine, which is a Morse code keyer, an AEA fax hardware and software program that we've just talked about, all types of packet controllers, as well as multi-mode data controllers like the PK232 and the PK2232, and slow scan TV and fax gear. And AEA is running a special sale now through May the 1st. You can buy a PK232 TNC and receive a free Isopole 144 VHF antenna, 2-meter HF antenna. All you have to do is buy a PK232 TNC and you receive a free antenna. That's a pretty good deal. You can call AEA at 1-800-432-8873. Now, AEA's number is 1-800-432-8873. You like that 88, you know, love and kisses, 73s, you know, I mean, that's pretty good. 1-800-432-8873. And AEA will send you a free 1992 catalog with all their products. And when you call, I'd appreciate if you mentioned ham radio and more. It's nice to do that, you know. And on the back of the free catalog for 1992, there's a coupon, and you send that in, and AEA will send you their newsletter, communique, and they'll send you all the updates of all their products, all kinds of information, latest stuff, if you just call 1-800-432-8873 and then send in the coupon. So... And if you want to see the complete line of AEA products, just go to Ham Radio Outlet at 17th Avenue in Camelback, and they have it there. AEA, where the radio, amateur radio action is at. And I like their products. And especially, you can get their weather facts and all their other stuff. Do we have a winner? Do we have a winner? We have a winner. I don't know who we're going to be talking to, but I did it before Forrest was able to put it on the computer. But... welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hi.
Hi. Who am I speaking to?
Al Mazur, W9LOB.
Welcome from Chicago.
Phoenix. Yeah.
You must be from Chicago.
Yeah.
Because that's where I'm from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where in Chicago are you from?
I'm from Chicago, Illinois, North Side.
North Side. Okay. We're on the North Side.
West Rogers Park.
West Rogers Park. Well, that, I think, is where Lee is from. Lee Finkel, my guest next week. But I was around Foster in California.
Foster, that's bad. We're near Pratt and Rockwell.
Okay, I know exactly where Rockwell is because at one time I lived a one-half block east of Rockwell. That's just past California.
Yeah, you're at Budlong Woods.
That's right. I went to Budlong Grammar School. And then Lane Tech High School.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't go to Senn.
Yeah.
which would have been there in Rogers Park. So tell us, what year was the Berlin Wall put up and what year was it taken down?
In 1961 it was put up, and in 1989 it was taken down.
Okay, 1989.
Yeah.
Did you want me to comment that?
No, that's exactly right. 28 years in duration.
Okay. And we have, Al, a T-shirt, which we'll get. Forrest got your information, and we'll get to you a Sundrop T-shirt, and all different sizes available, so whichever one you want. And Sundrop is where the fun is at in Phoenix and in Arizona. It's the Goodwill Ambassador for the state of Arizona.
I see.
Anybody wants to get in touch with Sundrop, it's 275-7450. How long have you been in Phoenix?
Oh, we're here for 6 months.
Okay, so you come here and then go back, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't still live in Rogers Park, though?
West Rogers Park.
You still live there, huh?
Yeah.
The neighborhood's changed a little bit.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. Bit of the Far Eastern influence around there.
Yes. I used to go to the Uptown and Granada theaters a lot. Uptown, the Riviera, and the Granada.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I know a lot of people. I know the guy who owns the Granada Theater in all the area there named Louie Wolf.
Louie Wolf, he's in a lot of trouble.
Is he still in a lot of trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard he went to Joliet for a few weeks.
Well, yeah, and I guess he is, but he is a pretty big owner of a lot of property around there.
Do you know if he's still married to that girl who's like 35 years younger than him?
He's still married, but
it must be her. It was his second or third. Yeah, he's a character.
Oh, yes. Yep. A real character.
Yeah, I could go on for hours on that, but I'll hesitate. But anyway, it's nice talking to you, Al. Have you listened to this show long? Or?
For the last 4 months, I have.
Well, when you get back to Chicago, WD9DBL, WD9DBL, Bruce Diamond.
DBL.
Right, DBL.
Bruce
Diamond. He lives in Deerfield.
Yeah.
He's an extra class. He's a real good friend of mine. If you do talk to him, tell him I said hello.
I'll look him up, yeah.
Seriously, Bruce Diamond in Deerfield, WD9DBL, real nice guy.
Will do.
Been a ham for about 20 years now. Actually was the one who was instrumental in pushing me over the edge and becoming a ham.
What do I do about this T-shirt now?
Well, you gave the information to Forrest, and I guarantee you Sundrop will contact you, drop you a line during the week, unless you give a phone number.
I give you a phone
number. Okay, so we'll get in touch with you during the week.
Should I give him the phone number?
Yes, I'll put you on hold and he'll take that. Okay? Thank you, Al. We'll talk to you later. Okay. I hope we did. Did we disconnect them? No, okay. All right, we've got about 10 minutes left, and I'm glad we got all the answers, or all the answers for all the questions. Now, where were we when we last left?
Okay, I think we were talking about using AEA fax for HF fax, but it's an excellent entree into the world of weather satellite pictures. And
I knew what I was going to ask you. How many bits of how big is a file for one picture? Because you said you can store it.
It's generally about 360K.
Okay, so it's significant.
Yeah, you need a good size hard disk. You know, floppies don't work well with this kind of stuff. You really need to have a fairly decent sized hard drive to work with these.
And where did you learn how to? Have you learned how to read? I presume you have a weather map.
I can make a go of it. There's a lot of information available from the federal government, from NOAA and its subdivision NESDIS, which is concerned with weather satellites, and the European consortium of weather agencies that's called EUMETSAT also produces some very good and well-illustrated literature. And as I said, there are a couple of textbooks out. There's one from the National Weather Society in Temple Hills, Maryland, that that's particularly useful for amateurs.
Okay. So are you almost ready to be on the Channel 10 News or something?
That's right. I'm just waiting for them to invite me for a full-time job as a meteorologist.
Has it ever happened now? You know, it probably hasn't, but has it ever happened where you looked at the map, saw where the weather was coming, maybe watched the news or heard the weather report and said, they're wrong?
No, I've never been that presumptuous.
I was wondering if maybe you outdid them. I remember in Chicago, P.J. Hoff. Al, you remember P.J. Hoff on Channel 2? Anyway, P.J. Hoff used to wear these bow ties and predict the weather. He was always wrong. I mean, you know, but he did nice cartoons and stuff.
Yeah, we had a guy like that in New York where I grew up named Tex Antoine, and he had a character named Uncle Wethby. And Tex became involved in some seamy venture, something wrong had happened to him at some point in his career, and he was yanked off WABC, the network that that brought us Eyewitness News and Roseanne Scamardella and a couple of other famous people.
Do you have any more information on the Dallas Remote Imaging Group or their phone number?
I don't have their phone number with me, but if anyone would care to contact me through the packet cluster or CADXA, I'd be happy to give them that information as well.
Do you use a packet bulletin board other than the packet cluster that you're registered with?
No, not at this time. The cluster is really the easiest way to contact me.
If someone wants to leave a message, they can connect to the DX cluster and leave you a particular message.
That's correct.
How do they do that as opposed to on a regular bulletin board?
They would just put send or just the letter S space N7PMP, and the message would be left. And when I would log on, there would be a notation that there is a message to me from whomever.
So that works the same as other BBSs where you can use an S or an SP.
That's right.
Okay. So if you want to get in touch with Todd, that's a good way to do it, and he can get you information on weather satellites, etc. And let me tell you, I know the other gentleman, AA7A. I love that call, AA7A. I mean,
yeah, that's a great call.
Can't ask for better than that. But very knowledgeable, and I know he's helped you immensely. Now, you have a lot of problems with antenna restrictions.
Yes, I live in the northeast valley up in northern Scottsdale, and we have a very active homeowner association, and there are a couple of people in that organization that hate the sight of antennas and probably hate ham operators. I've had problems all along with putting up an HF antenna, and finally, with the help of KE7TV, was able to put up the driven element of a high-gain beam antenna about 8 feet above the ground, sitting under the eave above my patio in the backyard.
No one spotted it yet, huh?
No, it's virtually invisible, and it's helped me. As I said, I'm 71 confirmed on my DXCC, mostly with that antenna. I also have a wire dipole that I use for 40 and occasionally 80. And I use a antenna tuner, an MFJ antenna tuner, which has been very useful.
Now, I heard a rumor that you spend a lot of time in your attic.
Yes, in fact, I have a torn meniscus in my
wait? What? You must be a doctor.
That's right. Yes, I've had some cartilage problems from crouching around in that attic. It hasn't helped a lot. I haven't fallen through yet, fortunately, but there are miles of coax and a couple of antennas, that turnstile rotator that I use, or turnstile reflector that I use for the polar orbiter satellites. That antenna is up in my attic. There are two 2-meter FM antennas for packet and just 2-meter voice.
And how do they get out, being that they're in the attic?
Well, they get out pretty well. Unfortunately, the voice repeater that I use most of the time, the CADXA repeater 14732, just does not get hit very well from my home QTH, but I use it mostly during the day for my car, so that hasn't turned out to be a problem. And the K7NO packet cluster node run by Dean Norris down in the Tri-Cities area is easily reached from my home QTH.
So the the consensus or the end result of that is that even if you have antenna restrictions, if you're, I don't want to use the word sneak, if you're clever.
Creative.
If you're clever and creative, you can still do an excellent job of getting out.
Right, and the nice thing is when you're new to the hobby and when you have Elmers that are willing to help you through the problems, you can do just about anything. I know I've mentioned them before, but KF7AY, AA7A, KE7TV, and W7IUV were really very helpful to me in setting up the various elements of my shack.
Well, that's one great thing about ham radio, and if you go to any of the clubs, and there are 6-7 great clubs here in the Valley, and you're interested in learning anything, there's somebody there that can help you who is probably a pro at it, whether it be weather satellites or amateur television or packet or you name it, Morse code, you name it, there's somebody there that is very, very good and proficient at it and willing to help you, and that's the key. So amateur radio is fun. We got two more minutes to discuss, and I just want to touch on shortwave listening very quickly. You don't listen normally to when we think of shortwave, you know, we listen to BBC and stuff. You listen to utility.
That's right. It all started really with my purchase of the PK-232 many years ago, and I found that that allows you to decode a lot of the more exotic utility signals that are there on
HF. And what do we mean by utility signals?
Anything that's not broadcast, anything that's outside Voice of America, Radio Moscow, BBC World Service, the things that that come across usually not in voice but in digital modes like RTTY, AMTOR or CYTOR as it's called, and various other digital modes. There are things that are available like aeronautical HF broadcasts on on a single sideband that don't require any decoding equipment. And it's very interesting to hear airplanes going across the North Atlantic, South Atlantic, and Pacific Oceans. You know, the commercial jets that we take when we go to Europe or Asia can be followed all the way across the ocean just using an HF rig that has upper sideband capability.
Okay. We have Doug calling in from Sedona. Welcome to Ham Radio and More. How you doing today, Doug? We've got about a minute.
Yeah, well, one quick question.
Go ahead.
In some future show, could you bring up lightning protection? And not just that, but general static and protection for any and all radios.
Okay, yes. Actually, in the August, at the August meeting of Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club, I'm going to have APS there, and they're going to talk about lightning protection, and maybe I can get him also to come on the show.
Okay, but I'm talking about antennas more so than AC lines.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about antennas, but absolutely.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. You're almost out of time.
Okay, thank you for calling, Doug.
Bye.
Okay. All right, listen next week. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Lynn. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks, Wallpaper World, AEA Incorporated, and Ken Nichols of Linda Black. Next week, noon to 2, we're going to have Lee Finkel talking about DXing. So, by all means, listen in. This is Len Winkler, KB7LPW. Thanks for listening. 73's Arizona. Talk to you.